Test, pop, pop. All right, folks, so I'm walking around my hotel room in Louisville, talking on my, camera lav system, but no video going, it's just recording. So we'll see how this turns out. You don't care. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, and I have a view of a White Castle, which I rarely have a view of a White Castle in any context. We'll take a quick picture of it. Maybe put it up on the podcast. Hot White Castle. So we got no guest. I was gonna try to get Gabe Rutledge, who is who I am opening for today, this weekend, on the podcast. But if you listen to the podcast on Substack, it's been a very hectic week. Travel is a nightmare right now for everybody. So I mean, I'm not alone. This week is the first time I've ever understood why people quit doing comedy. Because, so this is my travel. If, you know, loyal listeners will know that I had some travel issues going to Skyline Comedy Club, ended up having to cancel the weekend. And now it's on the Substack in great detail, but my flight got delayed by 3.5 hours, and I ended up, not only did it get delayed, but then it got delayed by an hour, and then we had to deplane, and then they had to switch another plane. We didn't actually get on that plane, but it ended up adding to the time. All the while, I was relying on this plane trip, this flight, that was going to be the only sleep I got. Until the first show of the weekend, and that sleep just got delayed, and then I got to Indianapolis and had to drive 2 more hours down to Louisville. So anyways, the point is, it was a very stressful, very long travel day, and there is like a thing where you go, travel is easier when you're doing a little better in comedy because you can afford to fly, and, instead of like Boise, for example. I flew to Boise because it's like a 9-hour drive and it's like an hour long flight. So is it worth $130 to me plus a rental car to save ultimately like 18 hours of time? The answer is yes. Louisville obviously isn't really driving distance. I do know some people that made some pretty long road trips during the pandemic out of safety, but I think we've learned that might not have been I don't think there's I don't know, who knows what's real and what's fake. There's some suggestion that air travel is not really as dangerous as you might expect. Who cares? Why would I go down this road? But yeah, I finally have I've had enough travel nightmares that I know, like, the next level of comedy up for me is just to be headlining all over the country on a regular basis. To not have to start these conversations with, I'm out here opening for, and it's also incredibly expensive to travel right now. I figured it out. So a lot of times when you go into these weekends, I don't know if you all know this, If I'm featuring on the road, very often the pay from the club covers travel, and that's it. So they'll usually provide lodging, and then the pay covers travel, and that's it for the feature. And so 100% of the profit that I make in comedy is from selling merch. And right now, it's actually the pay from clubs isn't even covering travel, because travel is like, in some cases, some places, like 100% up, right? And it's like, especially on a connecting flight, you're talking about two flights that are inflated, and then also your chances of actually hitting your connecting flight feel like zero right now. Anyway, I've realized that in order to alleviate this problem that I'm having, truly the only answer to this problem, having my flight delayed, there's no like, oh, it's uncomfortable to fly. Well, if I bought first class, if I bought a premium class ticket, then it would be more comfortable and easier to stomach. There's none of that, because it's not that that's the problem. It's these flights aren't happening. So the next step is fucking private jets. I don't think the amount of money I made all of 2021 in comedy would cover a private jet. So this is like a thing that I think you have to be able to deal with. And it sucks. It sucks. You spend, I showed up at the airport at 9 o'clock and we didn't take off until like whatever, 1 o'clock. And then I land in Indianapolis at 8 o'clock local time, immediately get a rental car, drive 2 hours. And then I worked my day job, no sleep until we even, by the way, I was supposed to golf this morning and I canceled it because I was like, I'm in the bourbon capital of the world. I'm in the origin of bourbon. They might say they're the only legitimate bourbon comes out of Kentucky. I think they're a bunch of fucking snobs, but I'm going to have some fun. I'm here with a buddy, my buddy, Gabriel Rutledge. I'm here with my buddy, Gabriel Rutledge. Of course, we're going to have a couple pops. We did have I did reach a point where I was like, I got to meter this intoxication out a little bit. I switched to Michelob Ultra. Really great distillery out here in Kentucky called Rabbit Hole. I'm going to try to figure out, I think I'm going to just have my friend ship me out a couple bottles. I have a buddy here. Shout out to Aaron Wrighton, who used to be a comic and was on the staff at Tacoma Comedy Club. And now he's out here in Louisville doing great. It's a really cool city. Very happy for him. If my wife ever decided that we needed to abandon our families, Louisville would be high on the list of places to move. The only problem, my only beef with Louisville is the airport stinks. There's like 7 flights in each day, and they're all just, Louisville is the, like a small Hawaiian island where like the only flights are from, it's so annoying. There's no direct flights here. Give me a direct flight. I already made the commitment to myself that I'm not taking connecting flights because of the disasters that I've experienced. And now and teleport. Could someone invent a teleporter, please? But yeah, because it's not even time that you could spend really doing something productive. I mean, theoretically, I could have, been on my laptop editing stuff, but I fucking forgot some equipment. I forgot one cord that would allow me to edit video and all that. And I needed to sleep also. And so, what am I apologizing to you? Also, please, if you would, check out, I put this thing on YouTube. It's on search YouTube for Road Hacks Golf. I'm making these videos. I put out a video that I filmed as a test of, a test to see if it's like viable as a concept. And I think it's really fun. It's me and my buddy, past podcast guest, Jess Everett, golfing. And I'm going to try to get as many comedians to golf as possible. I have a couple different ideas. It's not always going to be just like straight up rounds of golf or competitions or whatever. So, it's fun. And I golfed, I believe that the golf round with Jess that I recorded was like the sixth or seventh round since I started golfing again. And so yeah, you know, I deserve to be making golf content as a, I've now, since then, I think I'm up to 22 rounds of golf total since I came back to golfing. But yeah, this was very early on. And I'm still not good. I did, and I probably said this on the podcast with Jess, but I did break 100 for the first time in my life, which I wanted to make a series, series of videos on this channel that was about me breaking 100. And then I did it before I put out a single video, and we don't have it on video. And there's already a series on YouTube on the, it's like the Four Play. They're like a Barstool channel where about breaking 90. So I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do about that. Cause I do want to just keep becoming a better golfer. I have a, if you care about this at all, I have a 28 handicap, which is not good. Not good. I think Jess is like in the high 30s. What else is going on? The Louisville Club, by the way, if you live near Louisville Comedy Club, it's awesome. It's set up great. It's like a small, it's like kind of intimate, and, what I like, it's like a, it's not a, it's a rectangular room, but it's long on the, it's like, what would you call that? Like hot dog style? No. Yeah, it's hot dog style. It's if you actually, it's probably hamburger style, but the point is it's a horizontal rectangle in front of you. So the crowd is all close to the wall the stage is on. And I like that. Brick everything. Really cool historic building. I very much enjoy it. And fun crowds, or a fun crowd. We only did one show. Doing a family-friendly show tomorrow. So we could be, the next episode of this could be me telling the story of getting fired on the early show tomorrow. Boy, I don't even know, how long has this been going for? I guess, come on now. Come on now. 11 minutes. You're going to get a short one this week, folks, because I am tapped out. I slept. So the nice thing about being on the East Coast is I fell asleep. I was very tired, and we drank until midnight East Coast time, and I was exhausted. I was at the end of my rope. It's midnight, but it's only 9 o'clock my body clock. And so I started work at 9 a.m., so I got to sleep. I got like one of the best nights of sleep I've gotten in months after being hammered. I was not hammered. I mean, we did all right, though. I had probably 4 or 5 whiskeys and then a couple beers and a... I think probably 5 whiskey drinks. And then I had an IPA, a Michelob Ultra, and a Bud Heavy. A Budweiser Heavy. These were in the... in the green room fridge. And I was feeling good and toasty. I felt good. And woke up. I wouldn't say that I was completely absent a hangover. I did feel that I had drank the night before. But I don't blame... I mean, I overall felt pretty decent. So... Oh, man. Very disappointing. I don't have much to say. I think there was a sports story that I... Oh, there is a sports story. Okay. So if you've listened to me for a while, you might not have. I was a very vocal supporter of Colin Kaepernick, and I still am. I think that overall, Colin Kaepernick is like an imperfect messenger for anything, because he's, throughout his playing career, we now view him as like this kind of, depending on where you are, I now view him as like a somewhat stoic, like civil rights icon type. In fact, I think in the mold of, like, if you're creating an archetype, he's a Martin Luther King type, not a Malcolm X type, which is is we don't need to get too deep into the weeds on my thoughts on those two guys. In fact, I don't even think that either one could have been successful without the other one potentially. I think there's an ecosystem element to all these movements, but my preference would be peaceful protest, and that's exactly what Colin Kaepernick advocated for and did himself. So, I don't know what the if the conservative view of Colin Kaepernick has shifted in any way. However, I was a supporter of Colin Kaepernick, and right now there's another guy who is trying to speak out and to have an influence on social change, and a guy who I actually think is like a tremendous example for athletes and kids who may look up to him as a person, and that is LeBron James. And but I think LeBron James has, in the last couple of years, has produced two of the stupidest, least thought out, and truly insensitive takes that I've heard, which are one, the take when Daryl Morey, then the GM of the Houston Rockets, when he posted like a meme that said that he supports Hong Kong, and the Chinese government got angry. They threatened to basically pull all money that they were contributing through broadcast rights and whatever merchandise and stuff from the NBA. It would have cost the NBA $1 billion, meaning it would have cost LeBron James some money. And this is, of course, not just a Chinese government that takes part in pretty severe human rights violations, but also the tweet was specifically about one of those human rights violations. So LeBron James, this socially conscious guy, came out against Daryl Morey and said he didn't know what he was doing. And it was very obvious that it was not because of a thought-out opinion that LeBron James had, that he'd considered all this information, but that in fact this had affected him personally. So values be damned, or at least virtue signaling be damned, we gotta come out. It was the NBA's equivalent of John Cena reciting a Mandarin apology for referring to Taiwan as a country. Anyway, LeBron James. So Brittany Griner is stuck in Russia right now. And there's been conflicting reports on the. I mean, I think there was a point where nobody had communicated or with her in so long, and we rightfully have this skepticism of the Russian government that I mean, I was starting to think like the worst could be true. And she actually had a hearing the other day. If you don't know the story, Brittany Griner got arrested in Russia with cannabis vape cartridges. She's been detained for, I mean, and by the way, just horrible timing for her because it happened like right as this Russia, Ukraine, and because of that, Russia, US conflict was happening, and tremendously unlucky. You don't get to choose the time that you get put into a Russian prison, I guess. Anyway, it does seem like one, Brittany Griner is not being treated incredibly well. We did see that she's alive, though, and healthy. But two, it's brought up some other things, which are the reason Brittany Griner was playing basketball in Russia is because the WNBA doesn't pay enough and the Russian leagues pay a lot more. Does this sound a little bit like LIV Golf, by the way? I mean, obviously at a much lower scale, but we're not chastising these WNBA players for going to a place that we consider to be corrupt and to have some anti-democratic leaders and policies and whatnot. But hey, who am I to point out our obvious hypocrisies? So, I mean, I certainly have, I'm pretty much anti-incarceration on nonviolent crimes. I think it is Russia's law, but I hate this idea that, like, we just go, well, yeah, fuck, what is that? What was that thing people would say? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, like this complete lack of compassion for a person who's, you know, it's just tremendously unfortunate that Brittany Griner ended up in this prison. And then, of course, this becomes a thing of like, it's, you know, got to become a thing about race. And there's like some great Patrice jokes about the actual disparity between how the media and, you know, arguably police treat, like, say, a missing young white girl versus a missing young black girl. This isn't that, right? This is like a prominent professional athlete. And I do think a couple of years ago, J.R. Smith was facing, there was like some concern about his ability to get out of China. And no, that's not it. No, the good example of this actually is the UCLA kids, I believe, that Donald Trump like stepped up and got those kids, those black kids, by the way, if I recall correctly, out of China. I think that's right. I mean, I could have some details wrong. So then there's like the, because she's a female athlete, there's all this stuff. So take all that out, whatever. LeBron James said that if he was Brittany Griner, he doesn't know if he would want to come back to the US if they freed him slash her being LeBron James as Brittany Griner in a Russian prison. He doesn't know if he would want to come back to the US after he was freed. Now, of course, this is to say nothing of, like, I guess the argument is, do you go to a different country, whatever. I mean, I'm not like a what do you call that? Like a I got accused of this the other day, actually, on Twitter, which was quite frustrating because I'm not an American exceptionalist. I don't think that America is like undoubtedly the best country on earth. It's not the only place where there's freedom. I do think both American liberals and American conservatives can be extremely ignorant on the realities of the rest of the world, right? Like, in the Roe versus Wade discussion, France has more oppressive abortion laws, more strict abortion laws than Mississippi. Mississippi is not a dark blue state. You know what I mean? France, another example, has laws against Muslim women wearing hijabs. Not in certain settings at all. That is like true Islamophobia. That is like the definition of Islamophobia. We don't have to twist our heads to see Islamophobia in that circumstance. That is true Islamophobia. There's stuff like that all over Europe. There's stuff. And also, I would say a thing about the United States is if you look up the definition of a state, it is the definition of a country. Like a country and a state mean the same thing. And in the United States, we are united. In the European Union, they are united. And that is the European Union has some overarching laws, and then they also have some state-specific laws. We're not that different from Europe. People want to bring up, they're like, oh, England has this. Well, yeah, I don't think you're going to lose. I mean, by the way, I also didn't think we were going to lose Roe versus Wade, so as a country, so I mean, don't count on my prognostication, but places like Washington State and New York and California, the most liberal parts of this country, are not going to lose abortion rights the way that people in Texas, and I think actually Kentucky, where I'm at right now, I think Indiana still has it. I was talking about this to the club manager, which is, in my mind, Indiana and Ohio are northern states, and Kentucky is like a deep southern state, and they Kentucky shares borders with both those states, and northern Kentucky doesn't seem all that conservative. I really like it. I could certainly see. I mean, it is oppressively humid. They said it was a cool day yesterday, and it felt like a 100-degree day in Washington State. So I don't know what the temperature actually was. I could have pulled it up at any moment, but I didn't. And I don't regret it. So I think that this idea that LeBron James has, even like the idea, I think the implication was, and I could be wrong, that like being in a Russian prison is better than being in the United States, or that you wouldn't face these kinds of like inequality in a different country. Like, tell me a country that's getting it right on all things, I guess, is my thing. Whenever people say, there's two things that people do that I think are empty and strictly self-serving, which is they will bring up a point, say a thing that is wrong, but they do not offer a solution, and especially not a well-vetted solution. So they'll say, this is bad, we need to change this, but I'm not going to give you any information how, and I'm not going to give, if I do give you a how, it's not going to be well thought out. And that's frustrating. But the other thing is, they will criticize I'll give you my take on America. Because I'm not an American exceptionalist. But I do think that we are the largest non-authoritarian dictatorship in the world. So China, India, and even like you start to get into states that aren't as big, but like Russia and I think Brazil and like these, as countries have larger populations, the governments tend to get more authoritarian. And I think that what we are trying to do in the United States is not that, and we might be failing, but it's a difficult task. And we have, you know, like, people will talk about like England. Well, England's got like 60 million people in it, and it's got basically one climate and a pretty homogenous community. I think I've talked about this before, but my boss, I had a boss, not my present boss if you're listening, but I had a boss who told me, I was like, I think that the United States is probably the most diverse country on earth, because nobody's really trying to do what the United States is doing, which is to be something close to a melting pot. Certainly, we're not perfect, and we could improve in certain ways, and the fucking standard qualifications. But the United States is allowing immigrants in from all over the world. There's large populations from I think every continent on Earth in this country, and that's just not true other places. And then my boss looked up the what you do anytime someone gives you an opinion that you disagree with but don't have any information to back your claim. He Googled it, and it turns out that there's many diversity rankings on Google, and the United States doesn't rank particularly high. But when you look at the countries that do rank very high, his evidence, by the way, his anecdotal evidence that the United States isn't diverse was genuinely that he's been to Spain, and whenever he was in Spain and he went to a bar, he always saw a black person in that bar. That's not great evidence. Also, maybe an indication that in the United States you're going to exclusively very white bars. Because, you know, what happens when I go to a bar is occasionally I will see a person who is not white at those bars. But so, anyways, he pulled up these diversity lists, and the first countries were like these African countries, and I was like, holy shit, I didn't know. I guess, like, I didn't realize that there were so many non-Africans in these countries. Like, that's surprising to me that would be the top country. And then if you read it for one moment, you realize that what the way that these other countries measure race is just different from the United States. So the reason these African countries are incredibly diverse is because they divide Africans into tribes. And we don't do that in the United States. And part of the reason we don't do that with African American people is because many of them are descendants of slaves. And we have, as a country, wiped out their ancestral history. And that's not good. I'm not making an apology for that in any way. Obviously. Do I have to say that at this point? Obviously, I'm not apologizing for that. However, in the United States, those people would all be considered black under our racial definitions. That, you know, black immigrants and descendants of slaves are both just black in the United States. In Spain, this place that my boss felt was so diverse, I looked it up. The United States is about 70% white. In Spain, they are 90% of the people are of one of four Spanish ethnicities. And it's important to remember, Spanish is a language and it is a people, but it is not, there are many people who speak Spanish who are not Spanish. In the United States, people from Spain are what we would classify as white. So 90% white of these four ethnicities, and I think there's maybe some, obviously there's some complexity to that, right? But 90% white. And then the next ethnicity, highest on the list, was Romanian. And I think the next one was Turkish, which in both cases, these are races that we would call white in the United States. So it was like 94% just taken up by the top three ethnic groups were white, which is exactly my point. Like, we don't understand how homogenous other parts of the world are. There's no climate diversity. There is wealth inequality, but there's like the class divide is smaller. They'll be like, oh, the United States, the wealth gap is so big, and it's true, and it's a problem, and it's probably the biggest problem we have. There's this enormous class divide, and I think that is something that intersects with race, to use the language of the time. Like, I do believe in the intersectionality of race, and I can't believe I'm coming out. There's like things about that inter. Well, that all these things start out that way, right? Like, intersectionality as a concept is good and correct. Equity as a concept is good and correct. And then they get perverted by capitalists posing as socialists. People who become millionaires, white people who become millionaires, writing books, telling other white people incorrectly how to promote these ideas and advocate for these ideas. And so, the intersection of race and income equality in the United States, the other part of it is we have enormously different economies. Like, in the Southeast, like in Appalachia, which I'm pretty close to right now, you're talking about like coal miners, where we're like going off of coal, or even if we're going back onto coal pretty soon, which seems more and more possible, but even if we're doing that, our reliance on coal is significantly down from the 1800s, when many of these places were like thriving boom cities. I know like Butte, Montana is one of these places that maybe there was like they were drilling for oil maybe, or maybe it was a coal town also. And it's been bad for the local environment, it's my understanding. But also, that industry just left. Butte used to be like a huge city in Montana, and now it is not. Spokane, Washington, where a lot of my family's from, that's only 300 miles from Seattle, I think, maybe even less. And Seattle, it's all like tech and Microsoft and Amazon and Google and Facebook and fucking Zillow and all these massive tech giants, and then a bunch of support stuff, or it's Boeing and these aerospace programs. And as Boeing leaves, more tech comes in, and our local economy's changing, but it's always backfilling, and a lot of times it's backfilling with higher dollar with higher wage jobs, higher dollar value companies, more modern companies. And that is not true in Spokane. All three of my uncles that or all three of my two uncles and my grandpa that lived their whole lives in Spokane worked for Kaiser Aluminum. This is manual labor. This is, functionally, it's very similar to coal mining, where it's like these are jobs that are not. These aren't modern jobs. My grandpa was in a. I've heard so many stories about the pot room where he would have, which is a different thing in Washington State now, but where he would be in there with like, they're melting ore, or whatever, melting metal down to make ore. I don't even understand the process. This is how much more of a man my grandpa was than me. But this is like hard work and damaging, and very likely, by the way, there's a t my grandpa died several years ago, but he had Alzheimer's when he passed away, and there's a connection between Alzheimer's and having aluminum deposits on your brain stem. Like, there's a chance that this profession led to my grandpa having Alzheimer's. And I just took a drink of water, which had to sound, it made a weird noise, had to sound insane on the microphone. My point is, the US isn't perfect, but no country's perfect. And we do this, I've said this before, but thinking America is the best, is the worst, should be the best, should be the worst at everything. These are all examples of American exceptionalism. And this is, LeBron James is taking part in that. He's not offering a measured take. The United States is a, maybe not the, but is a leader in women's rights, in women's equality, in civil rights, civil equality. Do we have problems? Absolutely. Should we be aiming to solve those problems? Absolutely. If I'm Brittany Griner, a lesbian black basketball player that's detained in a Russian prison, do I think I want to get out and stay in Russia? Obviously not. Do I think that there's many places in the world better for me than the United States? Probably not, to be honest with you. And I think that LeBron James, that's like very, to me, it felt very obviously like a clout chasing virtue signal. And there's two, I think LeBron James does a lot more of that than Colin Kaepernick does. Disagree with Colin Kaepernick or not, I don't think he's out trying. He's not, he's hurting his career actively. He has hurt his career actively through his activism. And it's, you can't say that about LeBron James, because LeBron James is a politician. All right, that's going to be the end of the podcast. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully this sounds okay. It's just a lav mic walking around my hotel. It's probably echoey. You probably heard the air conditioner. I can't talk to myself and not pace. It's especially if I'm standing. If I have the opportunity to pace, I will. If I'm on a phone call, whatever. If I'm not talking to a person actively, I will pace. So I paced all over this goddamn hotel room. I wore a hole in the rug, and now I'm gonna end this podcast. Follow me at the Casey McClain. Subscribe to this podcast. Find me on Substack. You can get extra podcasts each week. This one, I talked about the 4th of July, or I talked about the movie 4th of July, and then largely about my travel issues. If you like that kind of inside baseball comedy shit, that's where you're going to do it. I'm going to try to just mostly have guests on here, not this week, obviously. But yeah, thank you all for listening. The Casey McClain, all social media. Have a good weekend. This is coming out late, and I apologize. Bye.